If you will turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse 10 was a foundational scripture that we began with when we had started this series. We're in lesson number 2. The verse is, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We have embarked upon a new series entitled Life Worth Living. And last week we revealed scripturally what life is not. You are an eternal being. You're made in the image of an eternal God, a creator, Father to those who know Him. And as an eternal being, you will never find true life in anything in a temporal reality. That which has time stamped on it, it cannot continue into eternity. And so you will end up always groping within this world. If you look for life here, you won't find it. So, we began last week with what life is not. And it's important that we establish that, because that is the majority. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to death. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Simply put, the majority will make the wrong choice. And if you want to live on the path that leads to life, you will be in the minority for your entire life on earth. So most of the world will choose the life that leads to death. And I use that word life loosely. They will choose the illusion, and with that illusion, their own destruction. The message that we speak here and the message that is coming to you today, it will ring true in your hearts for those that have a heart for the truth. And that for those of you that really do want something different than the illusion. So today, as we go into lesson 2 of A Life Worth Living, this title of this next series, or this next lesson, is What Life Is and How True Life Begins. The overarching goal of this entire series is that we, followers of the way, the truth and the life, would live the life God intended, the life made available through Christ. The purpose is to understand and appropriate the abundant life our Creator has made available to us through Jesus Christ. The series outcomes at the conclusion of this series, the active listener should have a scriptural foundation of what life is not, what life is and how true life begins, what it means to be alive, how we now live, and when life ends. So the aim is, through a systematic examination of the scriptures, we will continue to seek to understand what it means to live a life worth living. And this is a useful time to note that this illumination will only take place through the Holy Spirit as He works in our lives. Truly, the Holy Spirit is the only one that opens up our eyes to see. He's the only one that gives sight to the blind, the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so it's only by His work in us that we can see. And so even now, let's pray and let's ask Him. Holy Spirit, we just invite You into this lesson today, and we pray that You, giver of sight to the blind and the one that knows the secrets of every heart, that You would speak through this message and through these words and in this time, and that You would bless the listener and speak through your servant this day. Let the words that are spoken, Lord God, let them touch the hearts and be what people need, those that listen in, what they need for this day. Feed your sheep, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The manifestation of this series that we are working with as far as the spiritual manifestations is peace. And why is peace the governing fruit of the Spirit for this lesson? Well, until you come to a resolution about who you are, about what life is about, and about your time here, you will never truly settle in to where it is that God would have you to be, what He would have you to be about, who it is that you are. You will live with a grinding in your heart, knowing that there is more, but being detached from that. And so we want to settle some things in our hearts and before the Father so that we can move forward with what it is that God has given for us and made available to us. It's just sometimes we haven't been taught or we haven't learned. So let's go into the new information for today. What life is and how true life begins. Okay, back to our foundational scripture for this series. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Mm-hmm. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What does the scripture tell us? Well, one thing definitively that it tells us is that Jesus had to come in order for us to have life. So you mean to say that if He had not come, the only reality that we would have been left with would have been death? Well, yes. Yes, of course. Because outside of Christ Jesus, man left to his own devices, his own best efforts in any situation leads ultimately to death. Perhaps a delay at times, but always to the inevitable. After generations of failure after failure, and understanding for those who are honest about it, that your best efforts, the best efforts of man and mankind in and of his own limitations apart from God, is insufficient to fix his own problems and is insufficient for him to come into a knowledge of true life, which is only given by God, and the connection necessary for true life, which is only found in God. So man left to his own devices is a failure. And we'll talk about that a little bit why as we get closer to the close of this lesson. But man trying to fix his own problems. Let me give you an example. Imagine a college student trying to use a textbook, an anatomy chart, and a mirror to perform his own back surgery without anesthetic. Yeah, how do you think that would turn out? Right. Yes, about the same thing. Man without Christ is a dismal failure, incapable of fixing any of the problems that plague his soul, incapable of solving any of the issues of his own heart that keep him from life eternal. So what did Jesus say about it? Well, in John chapter 14, we will begin at verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, two questions for today. The first is, what is life? The answer is, Jesus is life. Amazing, isn't it? People look for life apart from the very source of life. Life, in actuality, is not what you do. It's who you are and who the source of your life is. The irony is that the world, by definition, defines your life by what you do and your external association. So the second question you'll get after people ask what your name is, so what do? In that the world defines you by that. That is your life in the world. And every association and every connection apart from God is lifeless. It has no life in itself. It's just activity. But in John 15, Jesus calls himself the true vine, and his people are the branches. Branches being an extension of him, and he himself being the source of their life. See, Jesus is life. He needs no other association outside of being in the Father being in him, and the Spirit being in them. He needs nothing else besides that. He is the source of life. He is where life flows from. And so, being life, our life is found in a connection with him. There is no life apart from Jesus Christ. Every other path leads to death, because it is the choice of the majority. And we've seen that in our earlier lesson. The result that we will see, to our own heartbreak, is mass death, both spiritual and natural death. I have to establish that scripturally. And so we go to the smartest man that ever lived, Solomon. It was so nice that he said it twice. In Proverbs 14 verse 12 and in Proverbs 16 verse 25, he says the exact same thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there is a way that seems right to people in and of themselves, but the end path apart from God, and the end path of the choice of a carnal mind, is death. That word right, for there is a way that seems right unto man, is there is a way that seems, and let me go into the Hebrew, is is convenient, or pleased well right, straight, uprightly. Is the way that seems convenient, just. It's a way that makes sense, ultimately. There's a way that makes sense to us apart from God. But the reality of it is, it leads to death. So to you in your natural mind, to me in my natural mind, apart from God, it looks like the right way, the choices that we would make apart from him, but it isn't. Jesus, the ultimate reality is, Jesus is the right way. But that is revealed to each heart individually as they seek for truth. No man can reveal who Christ is to you. God must do it for you through his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is the one that draws you. John chapter 6 verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's Jesus speaking. God does the work through people in this endeavor, yes. He uses people to speak for him. Throughout time he's done that, but it is the work of his Holy Spirit for you to be able to see him. So a good indicator even in a person's life when they are beginning to be drawn by him and he is beginning the drawing process unto himself is when they begin to have a hunger for truth. They want to know. They want to know what is going on in this world, what this life is about, what are they doing here, who is God, who are you really versus who you've been told who you are. I say that because this world has labeled you, packaged you, sold you a bill of goods according to who it says you should be to fit the system that's at enmity, that is at enmity with God. But God sees you an entirely different way than the world does. And for you to understand who He sees you as, who you really are, that is a work of the Spirit, and that is something that people are drawn to. They want to know. They want to know who it is that they are. Because something, again, that we spoke to the manifestation of this lessons, the spiritual fruit governing this one, is peace. In that you have no peace with the reality that the world has sold you. You have no peace with the choices that you're given. Being limited from actually having a real choice and being given options that you don't like any of them. And God says, yeah, I don't like them either, and they're not for you. It's when you begin to ask and to seek, when you begin to knock on the throne, the doorway to the throne, that God responds. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 9, says, and Jesus speaking when he was in the earth said this, he said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So he will give to those that ask. And everyone that asketh, receiveth. So, how does true life begin? Well, it begins, you know, and we can actually go back to the very start. True life begins, and we go back to even the start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. It began when the creation had an encounter with the living God, the Creator, on His terms. The first couple of chapters of Genesis reveal how the entire creation came into being and into life when they had an encounter with the Creator, the giver of life. So why is it that we are detached from that life? Why is it that we were born fallen, separate, apart from Him? Well, this goes back to to the fall of man, the separation of mankind from God. Man in the beginning was created in the image and likeness of God. Man in the beginning was created in connection with the Father. But in the exercise of free will, and because of decision that was made contrary to the instructions of a loving God, mankind fell. Man and woman fell. And they were separated from the Father. The very DNA of man was tainted with sin. And sin kept man from a connection with their loving Creator. Sin separated mankind from a holy God. Man can't do it by himself. Man cannot reconnect with his Creator. man cannot fix the problem that is ingrained in the very essence of his being. And that's why he needs a redeemer. That's why he needs a savior. He needs someone to come from the outside to do for him what he cannot do. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus offered that reconnection to the Father. And it again comes back to the free will of man, in that man can choose to accept and receive that gift of life that comes through him, or can choose to once again reject that and live with his disconnection from the Father and with his own sinful condition. So how does true life begin? Well, it begins when you and when I come unto God as a child and ask him to help. Ask him to help us. We ask him to save us. We ask him to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "As many as I love," and this is Jesus speaking, "as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Jesus gives us the power to overcome. The power to overcome the very sin nature in our lives through his life in us. We make the decision to surrender our lives unto him. We make the decision to say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And we make the decision this side of eternity, in this life, to bow our knee before our Creator and say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, save me. Lord, come into my life. I need the life that you offer." How does true life begin? It begins with that journey of him activating us, him speaking into our hearts and into our lives, him opening up our eyes so that we can see, so that we can see our need for him, and us responding to that and coming to him and saying, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Save me. Be with me. Live with me. Come with me through this entire life. Lead and direct me. I am yours, and I want you to be mine." God loves you. Even as it says in Revelation 3 verse 19, that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. So if you are having struggles in your life, if you are having difficulty, all you have to do is stop trying to do it yourself and give it up to him. It doesn't mean that you won't have struggle and difficulty afterwards, but he is the one that lives through you. He is the one that enables you to live this life, to make it in this world. Because you can't overcome apart from him. Your life apart from him is death. your life apart from a loving creator and your father, your maker, is ultimately one that destroys yourself, destroys those that you care about, destroys everything that you would ever hope for, in that you're left in the end with a shallow illusion. The world, the best that it has to offer you, will never fill the void of your heart. So, the invitation that God has for you this day is to come unto Him. Come unto Him this day and open your heart to the Savior, to your Lord, to the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ. Amen. All you have to do is just that. Where you are even now, just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do it on my own. And I invite you to come into my heart. I invite you to save me. Save me from myself. Save me from this world. I want to know what it is to have a true life. I want to know what it is to walk with you. I want to know what it is for you to be with me and to know that you're with me. If you ask Him, He will come. If you ask Him, He will make Himself known to you. And I pray that you do, because I know that He loves you. I know that He loves me. And what God has done in my life and in my heart, well, I can't put it into words, but I hope that you would share this with me as well. So God bless you. I love you very much. And we will see you again on the next lesson.